So, as I've, that's a weird way to say, as I've been Catholic, but I was just thinking about it, like, as I have grown in my Catholic faith, one of the neat things that has happened is my understanding of human anatomy and the human body has also grown. And you'd be like, well, that's a weird correlation. Let me explain before you think I'm too weird. As a paramedic, like, my knowledge of the body and how it functions and how it works leads me to understand more that this is not just a random occurrence that we enjoy called existence, and that there is, in fact, someone, something that had to orchestrate things perfectly for our bodies to work the way they do. And I see the body as a microcosm of the macrocosm of our universe. Because things that work so well on the molecular level work just as good on the cosmic level, right? So Christ does everything perfectly is my point, whether it's the very small or the very big. And one of the things that he does or has done perfectly is, in my opinion, my humble opinion, which I'm going to give you and you're here to listen to, he's made the family part of salvation history. Like, he could have done it any other way. He could have just poof, existed and appeared and was like, I'm the savior of the world, follow me. Yeah, he could have, but he chose not to. And he chose to exist in a family, in that nuclear unit of father, mother, and child. And so one of the things that I've always heard about the family is that it is the domestic church. As I said, things working on the microcosm as the macrocosm. The church universal, the smallest iteration of that is your family, is your home. It is the domestic church. And how John Paul II described it is that it is the first seminary for any vocation, whether that's to marriage, religious life, or to the priesthood. The first seminary, the first formation ground that people, children, experience is their family. So not only is it a microcosmic example of the universal church, but it is where vocations are fostered. And so one of those vocations, obviously, is to the priesthood, right? And men go to seminary to learn how to conform themselves into the person of Christ the priest. Not Christ the teacher, not Christ the rabbi, not Christ the whatever else, but we conform ourselves to Christ the priest. And as I said, Christ does everything perfectly. So if he has orchestrated that the domestic church, the family unit, be the domestic church, sorry, I messed that up. He made the family the domestic church, then there must be a priest in that church, right? So we look to the Holy Family for the perfect example. Christ is that priest. He is the most perfect priest that could exist. So then, well, what are Joseph and Mary? And the beautiful thing about Joseph is that he was there, and this is why I wanted to grab the missal, because of the way the church prays in tonight's Mass. But my point is that Joseph was there to assist. He was there in service. And so the church prays, under his constant watching of the Holy Family, so him serving in that way. And then in the second prayer before Mass, St. Joseph served with loving care your only begotten Son and the Virgin Mary, right? And then it says even further that we may also minister with a pure heart to your altar. This idea that Joseph was serving the Holy Family, and in doing so, he was serving the church. And if we look at, you know, Christ being the priest, well, then if St. Joseph is in service to that priest, then he is serving in the diaconal role. And the word deacon in Greek means servant, one who serves, one who carries out the command of the master. And so if Joseph is serving Christ, he is serving as a deacon. He is the proto-deacon for all deacons. And he's serving the Holy Family. So, as I said, the prayers pray that way, that we would know Joseph to be a man of service. And as I said, the Lord also uses the vehicle of the family to bring about our salvation, right? The pinnacle of our salvation. This plan that he started with Adam and Eve is brought to perfection in the Holy Family. And I didn't just bring up Adam and Eve at random, because Adam and Eve failed. That is why in the redemption plan, Christ and Mary are considered and called the new Adam and the new Eve. But again, we don't want to leave an imbalance. We don't want to leave out St. Joseph. And so in reflecting on the readings, Well, first it made me think of the Garden of Eden and how, what was the relationship Adam and Eve and God? And they walked together, right? In the cool of the evening, they would walk together, meaning there was no barrier between them. Adam and Eve saw God face to face. There was nothing in between them. And he would guide them and walk with them and talk with them. And so if Christ is the new Adam and Mary the new Eve, then I would say that makes St. Joseph that God figure in the Holy Family. In that, he walked with Adam and Eve, right? The new Adam and the new Eve. He walked with them. There was nothing between them. He was so close to them. And if all fatherhood is based in God the Father, then whatever Joseph was doing in walking with Jesus and Mary, you know, metaphorically speaking and also physically, but as he's walking with them, he's acting in that God role, then he is just mirroring the relationship that we have with God the Father. So it's not that he's doing anything outside of his role of service to the Holy Family, but he's acting in a metaphorical way like God did in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. So Joseph is to the new Adam as God was to Adam, right? That's the close relationship that he enjoyed. And so based on that thought, the first reading has this line where Nathan is giving prophecy to King David, and he's saying, your heir, the one that's coming after you, the one greater than you, is going to do all these things. And he describes the relationship that he will have with God. And it says, I shall be a father to him. I mean, this is the person of God speaking. I shall be a father to him, this heir of David, and he shall be a son to me. But I can't hear that on this feast day of St. Joseph without hearing those be the words of St. Joseph fulfilling the prophecy of Nathan. Jesus is the heir of David, the long-awaited one, the one that Psalm talks about that his kingdom will never end. But so is Joseph. He is in that line of David. He is the tribe of Judah. He's from the priestly or the kingly tribe. And St. Joseph saying, I shall be a father to him, right? This ultimate heir is very Davidic, and he shall be a son to me. It shows the closeness of relationship that, again, Adam enjoyed with God in the garden. Adam and Eve enjoyed with God in the garden. And how Jesus and Joseph, their closeness, their father-son relationship, it fulfills prophecy that was spoken to over David. So, in that same way, St. Joseph is also our father. And we should ask our father for help in times of need, especially in times of need. But as I said, Christ makes everything in the world perfectly. And so he has given us St. Joseph as the perfect model of fatherhood, service, and virtue. It would be a shame if we forgot to ask for his intercession.